And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
On the beach, the only place to read your emails and tweets. It's Thursday, October 8th. Thanks for joining us here on the No Dunks podcast. I'm J.E. Skeets, and alongside me, as always, it's Tass Mellis.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Tassie. We got the bearded one, Trey Kirby.
Hey-o!
Hey-yo! The international man of mystery, taking it to the max, Lee Ellis.
Friends.
And last but not least, making the magic happen is JD.
Hello.
There he is. And here we are. Thank you so much to everybody who sent in their questions over the past week or so. Keep them coming, guys. Keep them coming. Email us, nodunks@theathletic.com, or tweet them in at nodunksinc. Tass, let's just jump right into it, man.
Let's do it. Hey, NDC, longtime fan and listener here. So much so that I recently found myself going down a rabbit hole of Weekend Whoopsie's YouTube clips from the starters days. In these clips, you guys highlight one of my favorite signature moves a few times. The Rodney Stuckey overhead pass fake. Whoa, the pumper. gets the defender every time. Sorry, Dougie McBuckets. Anyways, this got me thinking. What are some of your favorite signature moves from lesser known players? Thanks. Your Beantown boy, Max.
I actually thought this was a tough question because you immediately think of superstars when you think of signature moves. So it is tough to think up a lesser-known player like a Rodney Stuckey. There's a name I haven't heard in a while.
If anybody gets as deep as a Rodney Stuckey overhead pass fake, I'll be impressed.
Well, I went deep, I think. Definitely not a superstar, but it was his signature move. Piston center, best known as a piston center, Rick Mahorn. And the signature move of pulling the chair. Love this move. I love to see it anytime in a game. I love when somebody busts it out in a pickup game, too. If you don't know what I'm talking about, pulling the chair, it's like basically the defensive move involves, you know, putting significant force on the offensive player's caboose or back as they're trying to establish post position. And then as the offensive player backs up, you know, you counter that force. You just sort of move out of the way. You allow
Jimmy
that
Butler's
resistance
done
going.
It a couple times to
he
LeBron.
Has mm-hmm. indeed. Mm-hmm. He has mm-hmm. indeed. Yeah, a couple travels there from LeBron. Yeah, so you either slip to the side, or you back up. And that sends, like you said there, Tess, it sends the player, you know, stumbling and bumbling and fumbling, a little travel, a turnover, sort of even a weird shot at times. So Rick Mahorn was the master of this
Rick
move.
Mahorn.
I watched, guys, a clip last night on YouTube that shows Rick Mahorn doing this three times in one game to Hall of Fame Knicks center Patrick Ewing. It's a great clip to watch. It's really, really fun.
Sounds good.
And then it got me going down like other Rick Mahorn pulling out the chair moves. He did one to Luke Longley where he stumbles hilariously. And then it even took me to a video where Chauncey Billups does it in a game to somebody. Rick Mahorn is on the call, and they cut to Rick Mahorn as like, hey, that's his move. And he's like chuckling on the call on the broadcast. So Rick Mahorn pulling out the chair. I think that's pretty good. I went pretty deep there, I think.
That's
for a
deep.
Signature move.
Yeah. Yeah, that is deep. I didn't go that deep because my guy, he's technically not a star because he's never been an all-star, but he's got incredible sort of signature moves. It's Jamal Crawford's kind of like fast break, shuffle behind the back, just fool his defender, basically, and do that. But he has so many of those little trick moves, those sleight of hand moves, that it's hard to sort of pin one exactly on him. But basically just all those little handle moves that he's got to get his shot going, because he's just one of the most fun guys to watch. So that's where I went. Not quite anywhere near as deep as Rick. Mine's a little more shallow in the water. But signature moves, I'll say, plural for Jamal Crawford.
Trey, what's your tricky Ricky here?
Well, it's a move that I can't believe actually works to this very day, but Jonas Valanciunas' pump fake is hilarious to me because he's not a great outside shooter in the first place. It's so slow, and you never think he's actually going to shoot it when he's going up. It looks like he's just convulsing his body, but I guess he shoots well enough that somebody would jump at it, and suddenly Valanciunas is rumbling down the lane. It's very similar to Joel Embiid's pump fake, which also doesn't look like a shot at all, but somehow people still fall for it. If you're a big guy and your pump fake is slow enough, it can be really effective.
Trey Kirby, you do this sometimes at pickup runs. You got like sort of that slow little fake from outside shot, and then you put it on the ground. Now you got a little JV or Embiid in you.
Oh, thank you very much. I'd much rather have a little Embiid in me than some Valanciunas, but it's more likely I'm taking the Bass Pro Shops trophy game home than an All-NBA, so I'll take it. But yeah, I got the slow pump fake, but that's just because I don't actually want to shoot the three, and I'm hoping somebody will make the mistake of chasing out at me so I can rumble past them. It works for us slow guys who can't actually shoot.
Hey, remember when we used to play basketball together?
Oh,
that was fun.
I remember basketball. I certainly remember it.
Yeah. Who do you got?
I too went down the Valanciunas pump fake rabbit hole, and I was thinking of guys who just have a good slow pump fake that kind of looks like their shot and can be sold. And so I started thinking of Pero Antic with the Hawks when Mike Budenholzer was playing five guys out and Antic was their center. And he would like to pump you and try and take you to the rack really slowly. And then it got me thinking about Thabo Sefolosha, who was an Atlanta Hawk for a while. He actually played this year with the Houston Rockets. He was the OKC guard who couldn't quite get them to be the third star to get them to a finals championship, but he was starting on those teams, and his pump fake is so slow because and effective because it looks like his shot. His shot motion is super slow. Listen, maybe if the New York cops didn't break his leg back in 2015, the Hawks could have had a championship. Okay, now I'm jumping to conclusions. But Thabo Sefolosha was my guy. It's a boring pump fake, but it works. Hmm. So when it looks like a slow shot, I mean, it gets people up. Just like Jonas Valanciunas, it totally works.
Lee, what is your signature move on a basketball floor? Well, if you had to pick one, or I'll open that to anyone for Lee, if they can think of one for Lee there.
Signature move?
Yeah. I got one. Blowing a fast break layup.
No. I would say in my later years, as you sort of become a better shooter, just a little bit of a step to the left, and okay, a shot. That's the one that I hit over Isaiah Thomas. I mean, that was the one that I mean, sure. I wanted to sort of shoehorn that shot in there, but that was what I feel most
you
comfortable
You feel comfortable
doing.
Going yeah, with that one, yeah, that yeah, direction.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, moving to the side, a little bit of a step back, step to the side, and then raising up. I mean, that's the sort of most comfortable shot, you know?
Step to your left, though.
Yes.
Yeah. So we got to force you right. Force you right. You're off balance.
Yeah, see, the other big shot of my life was the Metro Jam game winner, and yes. And I was going to try that on Nate Duncan.
Yeah.
But I was sort of coming dribbling in. I need to sort of catch it and then go into it. It's got to be a catch and move rather than like dribbling into that move, if you know
sure.
what I mean.
So sure. Yeah.
That's what I would have gone with though if I'd caught the ball, but I had possession already.
Yeah, you know Nate Duncan does his homework ahead of time. He's checking the film. He knows your tendencies, Lee. He knows the numbers. He's taking away your strong suit. But it didn't matter. Playoff didn't Lee showed up.
Before the game, Danny LaRue handed Nate Duncan 10 pages on Lee Ellis' game. Hey, watch for this. Watch for this, mate. Didn't matter. Lee Ellis still hits the game winner. Man, that is your Al Bundy moment for sure. No, boy. It's great fun.
It's great.
Back to NBA players. Isaiah Thomas, no, but Derrick Rose, Jay Stu mentions with the double pass fake while in midair. That's a good one from Derrick Rose. It's not his quote unquote signature move, but it's a move that you remember from Derrick Rose. He just gets up. Oh, that way? No, that way. And it works.
Yeah.
And with the two hands on the ball, it's a good Derrick Rose move.
Good stuff. All right, next one here. Hi, guys. First time emailer. As a Spurs fan, I hate seeing Kawhi have success because I think of all the Spurs lost. But at the same time, I love to see him succeed because I was the only one I know of who called him a future superstar way back in 2011. I can still hear the jeers from friends, quote, he's just another Bruce Bowen, or Harrison Barnes will be better than him, end quote. I'm proud of my prediction, but at the same time, it tears me apart. Who's someone that you are proud to see succeed, but also it does tear you apart? Thanks for the show. Much love. That's from Vic Gonzalez, a Spurs fan who's living in Idaho. So, Trey, why don't you get a start? That's a good cue.
Do you think I want to be cheering for the Miami Heat in the NBA Finals? Absolutely not. The Heat tortured the Bulls during the early part of the 2010s. Obviously, when LeBron was there, the Bulls would rack up the wins in the regular season. Then LeBron and the Heat would eliminate them come postseason time. That's what it always felt like. But, you know, they traded Jimmy Butler. He made his way to the Heat after Dwayne Wade put the bug in his ear. And now I'm rooting for a team that destroyed my team for the longest time. But, you know, they're in black and red, so I can at least pretend that it's the Bulls. But it's tough out here for a Chicago fan. You know, I'm a Bears fan as well. Patrick Mahomes is the most exciting football player of the past two decades, probably. And every time I see him, I just think, man, the Chicago Bears drafted the Sam Bowie of the NBA, picking Mitch Trubisky at number two, just like Sam Bowie was drafted at number two. You could have taken Patrick Mahomes. The Bears obviously traded up to take Trubisky. And now every week I get to see these highlights of the LeBron of the NBA just dominating, looking like he's having a great time out there. And the Bears, for, you know, the 30th year of my 36 years on this planet, have no quarterback. And that's just kind of how it's always be. So, yeah, it's fun to watch Mahomes, but it's also just a disaster knowing that he could be wearing a Chicago Bears uniform. But also, if he was, he would be terrible. That's just how it is.
That's probably true. If anything, you saved Patrick Mahomes' career by not taking him.
Exactly. You're welcome, everyone.
Yeah, that's a good one there with Jimmy and Patrick Mahomes. Who do you got, Tess?
I'll flash back to 2011, the 2011 draft. The Raptors took Jonas Valanciunas at number five. I wanted Brian Colangelo to go local, stay here on this continent for once. I just wanted a guy that everybody knew. I wanted him to take Kemba Walker. He was fresh off that mean step back in Madison Square Garden for UConn. The Raptors had just had gone around the big man world of Andrea Bargnani in years past, and I had just had enough. I just wanted a point guard, somebody who could handle the ball. No disrespect to Jose Calderon and TJ Ford, but I wanted somebody fresh and great. And Jonas Valanciunas worked out fine for the Toronto Raptors, but I just wasn't happy about it. And we were working at the Score at the time, and I was so distressed. I took JD out onto the street there at the corner of Peter and Blue Jays Way and Blue Jays Way and King there. And I forced him to film me yelling at the camera about Kemba Walker not being drafted. What's up, Brian Colangelo? What's up with that? And I was so angry we had to do multiple takes. And then JD got angry.
I don't remember this at all. What was this?
Yeah, you were gone for the day, that's for sure. It was just me and JD just hanging in the office. And and that was the extent of it. Listen, Valanciunas was totally fine. He should have got a ring last year. But still a little bitter. And it worked out extremely well because the next year, Brian Colangelo traded for Kyle Lowry. Point guard came in there to play with DeMar DeRozan, and the ball got rolling. So a little it kudos for BC, AD, JV. Okay,
nice.
That sort of worked.
Yeah. My obvious answer is Vince Carter, because when he left the Raptors, I hated Vince Carter. I was like all on the train of like, he's a quitter, screw him, you know, whatever. And then, of course, he starts succeeding right away in New Jersey. I'm still angry for years. And then at some point, as I matured, and obviously the Raptors eventually started to have some success, you start rooting for the guy. You start cheering on. And like what he started to do and how he changed his career and became like this vet guy that was bouncing around team to team, but you wanted to see him succeed and he still had moments. And then we're there in the fortress when he scores 25,000 points. I'm standing, I'm cheering. So things turned quickly, you know. I hated him. I hated Vince Carter when he did quit on the Raptors and left, of course, traded. But I came around. I love Vince more than anyone now. So he's an obvious pick for me. Lee, this is a tough one for you because you don't really have a team, but is there an answer?
Well, mine's kind of similar to yours, though, because, you know, I'm a big Hakeem Olajuwon fan. And in the 90s, you know, I was anti-David Robinson. I just was like, Hakeem's way better. Hakeem is the dream. And he is. And Hakeem had the championships and the MVPs. And I know Robinson got those as well. But Robinson didn't have the championships. And then 1999, of course, he gets one. And then 2003 gets another one. And it was kind of like, you know, they were Tim Duncan's championships. Like, but I was okay with David Robinson getting a couple as well in the end, because I did mature a little bit. And I'm like, he's a very good player. He's a great guy. He's a great human being. He's bigger than just the game of basketball. But for those crucial years there from like 1990 to 1996 or 97, Akeem got the championships, and he deserved them as well. So I was like, that sort of solidified my opinion and love of Akeem Olajuwon, and that I thought Tim Duncan was overrated at the time. But in the end, he got there, and I'm glad he's got his championships. I'm glad he stayed with the Spurs. And he also, you know, when Tim Duncan came along, David Robinson, there was no sort of bitterness like he was being usurped by a younger guy. He was kind of like, okay, we're better with Tim Duncan. So he was like mature about the situation as well. And I think he won his second championship in 2003 on Father's Day too, if I remember correctly. And so there was like, it was like, oh yeah, the father of the NBA gets another championship, you know, as a sort of more of a role player at that stage of his career. So, you know, I don't have the same vitriol that I used to have to David Robinson in those prime 90s years. I'm glad he succeeded in the end and got a couple of championships.
Yeah, you completely changed your tune. You became a Spurs homer later in your years.
Yeah. And so it must have been tough for you to not want to cheer for David Robinson with those guns and those arms that guy had, too.
You know, that's the thing. Like, he came into the league a couple of years late because he was drafted in 87 and he had to finish his Naval Academy you know, education there. And it was like, I was like, this guy's not going to be able to just come in and instantly impact the NBA. And he did. He was great. but again, Akeem Olajuwon had already been in the league for so long, dominating, and everyone was just in love with the new David Robinson. Oh, isn't he so cute? And I was like, hey, show some respect to the dream, man. He's been there 7 years already.
He's right. Handsome too, okay?
He's very handsome. Very handsome. So, of course, that 95 one when, you know, Robinson gets the MVP and then Akeem goes out and destroys him. That's one of the greatest moments of my life. But in the end, Robinson gets his championships as well.
One of the greatest moments of your life. Amazing.
Well, I just didn't like how everyone just immediately anointed Robinson better than Olajuwon.
Sure,
I'm like,
sure.
No, he's not, man. He's not. So, yeah, but I love him now. You know, you move on. You do grow and mature in time.
Yeah, those were always fun debates, too, in fantasy basketball. Are you taking David Robinson? Are you taking Akeem Olajuwon? Obviously, then Shaq got in the mix. It was like, well, Shaq hurt you in the free throws, though. But, there was a lot of debates about which one was better. I mean, David Robinson and Akeem were monsters in fantasy basketball back when we were playing with our old spreadsheets and stuff like that. But, all right, great answers there. Let's get to the next one.
Good day, lads. Australia's NBL added a new expansion team in Tasmania. Their name? The Tasmania Jack Jumpers. Jack Jumpers seem to be the worst choice based on the comments and polls, yet they went with it anyway. Lee, I'm keen to hear your thoughts on the new club and its name. And guys, if there was one franchise in the NBA you would rename, what would it be and what would you rename it? For me, it would be the Los Angeles Clippers, as Clippers is what my partner calls the mechanism to cut nails. So every time I hear it, I think of toes. I change it to something strong and bold like the Los Angeles Annihilators so that maybe they are empowered by the moxie of their team name and can stop choking in the playoffs. Whoa! Savage Jordan in Melbourne, Australia. Whoa! Lee, what do you think? Tasmania Jack Jumpers.
So when you hear the name Jack Jumpers, you think it's kind of a made-up name because it sounds made up. But it's actually an insect that is kind of native to Tasmania. So it's fine.
What type of insect is it?
It's like an ant. I think it's like an ant, but okay. I think it can shoot, or it's got venom in it as well. I think that's right.
So it's like a Fort Wayne mad ant.
Yeah, so it is. It's kind of like, hey, listen, Tasmania is a bit of the sort of little brother of Australia. You know, it's sort of tucked away at the south of the continent there. So it gets a lot of people make fun of it a lot. So they need something that's a little bit more of a tougher name. Now the name Jack Jumper still isn't that intimidating name, but the ant itself is quite intimidating and can, you know, it's quite strong, so I like it. And I'm thrilled that basketball is back in Tasmania. They used to have a team back in the 90s, but then it folded. It's a very small state,
right?
So just the fact that they've got a team there is great. But in the press release, they said something like, you know, this is the name, now we just need a coach and some players. And I was like, oh, okay, I guess that's the next step, isn't it?
Yeah. You know?
So there it is. Yeah, there's Jack Jumper.
What's the population of Tasmania? Like, how
I think
small?
It's about 400,000 people.
Yeah,
I think.
Okay. I'm seeing about 540,000.
Yeah,
I guess. Yeah, okay, yeah. So it's pretty small.
Around about, yeah. So it's a beautiful, beautiful part of Australia, but a lot of people skip over it. You know, they think it's sort of off in the distance, but it's great. We were there last year on the farm. It was beautiful.
Right, that's where you went. Yeah.
I don't remember seeing any Jack Jumpers, but no, it's a great place. And Tassie, it's great to have just, you know, a professional team in Australia, in Tasmania, because they're trying to always get a rugby team and a Aussie rules team, but the population just doesn't really, is not able to sustain it. So
That seems weird to me. You have like 8 teams in Melbourne alone or something like that.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I mean, that's where the league, that's where the Australian Rules League started. So now, but now it's expanded out to Queensland and South Australia and New South Wales. But Tassie just, you know, not quite, just not a big enough state.
You keep saying Tassie. I can't tell you're talking to Tass. I'm very confused here. It's like, wow, you're really zeroing in on Tass in this conversation.
Well, so on the license plates in Australia, they just have TAS as the short one. So
so Tass could go there and be like the Prime Minister the king. Of Tasmania. Yeah, yeah. He'd be the king. That'd be cool. Tass, let's do that.
Sure.
Yeah.
That could
you're the king of the jack jumpers.
I could jump on a jack's back, hang out for a bit. This kind of sounds like when New Orleans picked the Pelicans for their name. It's local to the region there, to the state. Everybody thought, oh, this is not a good name. But a pelican's a strong bird.
Yep.
And I'm guessing that the jack jumper is a strong ant family or whatever it is.
Well, I mean, isn't that the funny part? When I hear jack jumpers and I know it's in Australia, I'm immediately thinking of a kangaroo. Right? Somehow, something's going on there. Is this a hybrid kangaroo? I don't know what this is. I'm not thinking ant, I guess is my point.
Or at least that boxing kangaroo. He likes to jack his opponents, the jack jumper.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because I saw Rachel, JD's wife's Instagram yesterday of a grasshopper walking around. I'm thinking grasshopper.
Sure.
They got some ups.
They do. Yeah, that was a weird grasshopper your wife had found there in the garage there, JD. It had, like, was missing an eye or something.
It was a praying mantis, for one thing. So that may be why it's a weird grasshopper.
So weird.
But it was missing one of its claws. This guy was gone, and his eye seemed to be burned out of its socket, which was crazy. But still walking around, you know. So she took a video of it and posted it, as you do.
Right.
So...
a lot of insects making the round yesterday with the fly on Pence's head.
Yeah, it was a great day for insects.
It was a great jack jumpers. Big, big day for insects. Well, Lee, why don't you answer, you know, the question. Do you have an NBA team that you would, you know, change the name of, the nickname?
Yeah, I mean, there's some teams that just don't really fit their nickname. Like the Grizzlies, I don't think there's too many Grizzlies down there in Memphis, you know. So Memphis is more what? Music and... you know,
barbecue.
Exactly. So the Memphis Barbecues or the Memphis Musicians. What about something like that? But I actually
Memphis Musicians. Wow, it's super intimidating.
I mean, you know, like, and the Utah Jazz. I mean, we know that came from New Orleans, and they just kept the name, so it doesn't really fit there. Some people, and you guys, Tass and Skeets, especially with the Raptors. I mean, I think people were off that for a while, but now they've won a championship. You can't change it now. Can't change it to Huskies or anything like that. So I actually think the Clippers is the one that you would change because it's a boat, apparently, or a big ship. But no one really knows that. I didn't know that. You have to sort of Google it. Say, what is a Clipper? And then it's like, okay, I know Los Angeles is on the coast there, but Clippers, it doesn't really work. It's not. I think of nail clippers as well with the Clippers. So.
Right.
Yeah.
So do you think of toes then too immediately? Is that where your mind goes? I've never thought of toes when I think of the LA Clippers. I could see how you could get there. Speaking of toes, JD, come back for a second. Were those new toes in the opening of the beach step in there?
Oh, you noticed finally. Lee and I were wondering. It's it's old eight toes.
There they are. Oh my God. I didn't see that. I just noticed that the feet were different because I saw a tattoo and I'm like, I don't remember that being there.
Oh, I can't believe it took you this long to notice.
What do you mean? How long?
Well, there's only been two. We've only shown it twice, but there was no reaction.
I probably wasn't honestly watching the first time because this is the first time I was like, oh, those are different toes because I hated the toes or the feet you were using before, those little stumpy toes that guy had. Wow, but that's even worse, the old age toes.
It's pretty bad.
Yeah, we're still waiting on him to shoot the shot of the lady in the bikini turning back, looking stuck.
Hey, and Lee,
toes. Hey man, do you want to get some sand between your toes on the weekend? And you're like, he's like,
I can't do it. He said,
sorry, JD, you were gonna ask.
I was gonna just say, Lee, tell eight toes to shoot landscape next time. Eh? Just, all right. Oh man, it was. It's got some professionalism in here.
It's pretty high quality, though. I'll give him that. Like, it looks nice. Yeah, it looks, and obviously, yeah.
It was a nice shot
by us the first time.
Yeah. And he sent two takes, which I appreciate.
Yeah.
I should have said eight.
Lee, is he a fast swimmer? I would imagine that guy's just a terror in the water with those flippers.
See, it's like, see, if you see a big guy who's 6'9" and you say, he must be a basketball player, and he's not. He hates the game. Eight toes is the same. He should be a great swimmer, but he's not.
They've been putting me in pools my whole life.
Wouldn't you just go in circles, though, because his one foot is really strong,
it's
while his
good.
Other is normal?
Oh, yeah, man. Maybe synchronized swimming would be better for him, so he doesn't have to move around.
I'd love to see him take on Thorpe. All right, so, okay, you're going with the Clippers. You're going with what our emailer, Jordan, also from Melbourne, was talking about. Their tasks or Trey, do you have an answer for this one? A team you would like to switch up?
I think the Thunder could switch up theirs. I think it's dual purpose. The first part is that they could just rebrand. The jerseys have never been amazing. It's been a struggle. And let's get into a new era of the Thunder because, the weather nickname or the weather team name, meh. Definitely not a fan. I just doesn't really strike me.
Lightning would.
Yeah, Lightning definitely would. That's why I threw it in there. But the Tampa Bay Lightning, they won the cup. The Thunder.
Seattle Storm just won.
Seattle Storm.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
But I think you could just, it would be an excuse to rebrand, find a name. It's tough, I think. You know, OKC is also a very small place, sort of like Tasmania. So not a ton of different ideas. You don't want an oil rig. Don't think that's a good idea. They are the top hat for Texas. Why not the OKC top hats? Why not throw it on there? Who cares? A lot of hats. There's a lot of branding opportunities there with hats. OKC top hats. I know, not interesting, but you know, it's an old timey name. But they need something new.
Okay, what do you got, Trey?
Well, I'm with Lee and our emailer, Jordan. It's got to be the Clippers. They, after everything that has happened with the Clippers, after blowing a 3-1 lead this year, saying goodbye to Doc Rivers, now is the time. Just be the LA Condors. Just like the Jack Jumper is apparently something that is numerous in Tasmania. Apparently, there's a lot of California Condors. They've already got Chuck. Just completely scrap everything you've got going on with the Clippers right now. The logos are bad. The colors are bad. Nobody cares about the team in the city. People are Lakers fans. Go old school. Bring back the San Diego Clippers, like light blue and orange look. I was watching baseball last night. The San Diego Padres are out there in brown and yellow. We're okay to have some retro color schemes around. Go something old school. Completely ditch the Clippers. Condors slips right in. You still got the C at the beginning. You got the S at the end. Chuck's hanging around. It's perfect. Anything but the Clippers. Nobody wants to hear about the Clippers curse anymore. Rebrand. We're still going to know it's the same team, but maybe you can change a little bit of the opinions around there and the history. I don't know if it just goes away once you change the name, but maybe it'll work.
Okay, yeah. That one is the most obvious one, no doubt. Changing the Clippers. No one really, really likes that name. They don't have a historic, you know, winning franchise there that you're tied to it. And you're like, no, you can't change it. Like you said, Lee, with the Raptors now, even if you hated that, you can't get rid of it now. No, they got a title. There's no way you could do that. So let's hear from you guys, though, in the YouTube comments and everybody out there on Twitter, at NoDunksInc. Which team would you rename and why? And what would you name it to, more importantly? Got lots more questions still to get to here on our Beach Steppin' podcast, but first, a word from our sponsor.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
What about changing the LA Clippers to the LA Lawnmowers 3.0? Just lean into that. I know that wasn't what you were doing an ad read for there, but it crossed my mind there while you were talking DraftKings.
I like that a lot.
Or the LA Kings. Just take a hockey team. Make them the LA Kings in basketball. Why not? All right, next question here. High, slow spunks. In your finals preview, three of you guys enthusiastically picked the Heat to win. Really, four of us, I guess. We're throwing JD in there. My friends and I have an annual running bet throughout the playoffs, and your takes influenced me to pick a long series with the Lakers winning in seven. I'm feeling pretty sheepish now, though, particularly since one friend who picked Lakers in five looks likely to leapfrog me for the ultimate win. With that in mind, has there ever been a time you got swept up in the enthusiasm of those around you and made a foolish decision? Turds up, flush goodbyes. That's from Dan in Wellington, New Zealand. I've been there. Beautiful part of New Zealand. Lee, why don't you get us started here? Has there been a time where you just got caught up in the emotion of it all, the enthusiasm, and
yeah,
made a dumb decision?
First time I went to New York, there was no NBA on because it was the lockout of 99, and so I was desperate to go to Madison Square Garden to see something. And the Rangers were playing, and Gretzky was playing.
Okay.
And I was like, all right, you know, I think they were playing San Jose. I still remember. And I got there and I thought, all right, I don't know anything about hockey, but I bought the big red Rangers shirt, this big glowing red shirt it was for the Rangers. And I thought, I wonder how long I'll last for this game. It turned out to be an awesome game. It turned out to be incredible. And I got to see Gretzky. So, you know, I knew who he was at least.
Yeah.
I didn't understand, though, there was only three periods in hockey. So I was like, geez, this is going late in halfway through the third. And then eventually they won. But also what happened in the game, during one of the intermissions, they had a guy who had to flick a puck through the tiny little hole.
Yeah, yeah, I love that.
Yeah, right.
From center
so,
ice usually.
So he had he had three spots, and it was like $777 the first one, $7,777 the second one, and then from the other end, $77,000.
Oh, shout out to Paul Coffey.
And he nailed all three.
Nice.
And it was just incredible. And I was just like, oh my God, what an incredible event this is. And then the Rangers came back and won the game in the third period. And I was just like, yeah, man, this is awesome. So for like, I was like, I might be into ice hockey here. I'm not sure. This was incredible. So I remember sort of telling people about it, and I thought, oh, I'm going to sort of start to follow ice hockey a little bit. But I never did after that.
No.
Really. I was living in London at the time too, so it was very, very hard to get into it. But, you know, like if you can see one hockey player and you get to see Wayne Gretzky, I know the Rangers isn't his like most noted team. I think it's, I guess, the Oilers and the Kings, I suppose. But it was like seeing
Don't forget St. Louis Blues too.
It was like seeing Jordan on the Wizards, you know. But it was like, wow, one ice hockey game and I got to see Wayne Gretzky, and it was an incredible game. The fan won the 77.
I can't believe that. You're telling me the guy hit, I guess he probably shot from what, the blue line, and then maybe center ice, and then the other blue line?
Yeah. Yeah. And it was like a little mouse hole he had to get it in. And I was like, there's no way he can do it. But he just had a very sort of slow, like just sort of pushed it. And it just went in, and it was like, oh my God, that's incredible.
Okay, that's pretty amazing if you saw that. I would go nuts for that, sure.
So, but yeah, the funniest part was in that third period where I'm just sort of like, it feels like the game's ending, but I'm like, I'm sure this is only the third quarter too. So I didn't really know what was going on.
Oh, you thought there was going to be a fourth period.
I just assumed there was. Yeah, I had no idea. But I also remember thinking, because I guess it tipped off or you know, the puck dropped at 7:30 or 7. And it was already like 10:30, 11
o'clock. You're like, whoa, we're going to be
this is going late. Yeah. So,
so what did you think of Madison Square Garden, though?
Oh, it's great.
Beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah, beautiful place to watch.
Gorgeous. Hockey. Maybe one of the, it's the Mecca, really, is what they say.
Did you get a picture outside before this game?
Yeah.
No, well, actually, I did get some photos, but Dad is not at home at the moment. He's away because of this whole situation in Melbourne. You're not allowed, like, they've really locked down where people can travel to.
Oh.
So Dad's down at his partner's place, which is like 3 hours out of Sunbury. So I sent Dad a message. I said, you haven't got, you're not in Sunbury, you can get some photos. But no, we're not allowed. We're still not allowed back there yet. So, yeah, I'll have to dig them up. I'll get them in a few weeks.
So these photos are like in a box or something like that at your...
In albums. And I'm pretty sure I've got the photos of the guy hitting the hitting
oh my
the
God. You have a photo of everything.
I know, I know.
How this much is money did you spend on taking photos?
A lot. This is the old film as well, so you couldn't take it and see what the shot was. You had to wait till you get it developed back in the country. So, you know, it was incredible.
That's kind of like us right now, because we want to see this picture of this guy making the shot, but we still got to wait 2 weeks to see it.
I know.
What a throwback. Lee, I thought your answer for enthusiastically getting on board with something was going to be when we went and saw wrestling. And you were popping like a 10-year-old who went to Monday Night Raw the very first time.
Wasn't that a fun night, though, you know? Like,
That's a good answer. You were so into it, Lee.
But you have to be if you're sitting that close.
I agree.
It's fun. And you guys are into it as well, and Renee was there, so we had like that connection, and it was just like,
at one point you asked the guy in front of us if you could hold his championship belt, and like, you're taking photos with
him. I got a photo of that.
Yeah, amazing.
Oh, that was so much fun. I mean, and then when we went back for Ric Flair's 70th and we're up in the nosebleeds, and it was like, I can't sit up.
How many times have we told this story? I mean, we've told that story 10 times.
Ricky the Dragon Steamboat was there and everything. I wanted to say to her, hey, do you think you could get me? Could you introduce me to Ricky the Dragon?
You said when you went to the Rangers game, you've never been to an ice hockey game, but you bought a Rangers shirt.
Yes.
You are definitely one of those people. You're like my buddy Grish does that too. He's going to whatever sporting event, whatever team it is. If it's not even his team, he doesn't care at all. He likes to have some, you know, a shirt or a jersey or a paraphernalia of some sort. You're similar to that. Yeah.
And this one that I bought was just like super red, and it just had the symbol of the New York Rangers, right? So at the game, it was like it fit in. You didn't look different. But I remember wearing that around the streets of London as like this big bright red ice hockey shirt. It just did not look anywhere else. So it didn't last all that long.
It a jersey or
no? It wasn't a jersey. It was just because the jerseys are like $280.
Yeah, there's no way you bought that.
Yeah, no.
What if they want to send one free? I'll still wear it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I definitely would have if it was like $50 for that, but not.
You could get replica. Replicas were like 60, 70.
Yeah,
bucks.
Well, but I was probably buying from the concourse in Madison Square Garden.
Tass, he had like 1,000 photos to process when he got home. He was going to go bankrupt as soon as he got back to the home.
He had to go build an ice hockey rink and start getting on the ice.
Hey, I will say, Lee, I've only been to like maybe 2 ice hockey games ever in my life.
Would you stop saying ice hockey?
He's got me saying
say
ice hockey.
Just say hockey, for God's sake.
Well, Taz, we might be talking field hockey later in the show. I don't know.
I went to the field hockey at the Athens Olympics, actually.
Okay, stop it. If you bought a field hockey shirt, you didn't buy a field hockey shirt.
Nah, because I just had the Australian, the green and gold shirt. I just wore that every day. It stunk.
It must have stunk.
Yeah, it was awful.
Yeah, the stream team is asking, you must have been to an Oakland Athletics game to have that A's happen.
Yeah, that's the one time that I guess, I don't even know where I bought that or why I bought it, but for some reason I had an Oakland Athletics hat. I thought you were wearing them, but obviously that's the Braves you got on there today, Trey.
Right? That's right. Different A.
I was going to say though, Lee, you absolutely are right. An ice hockey game is in person amazing. It really is fun because I'm not the biggest hockey fan to watch on television. It's okay, whatever. I don't really care. But you go, the crowd's into it. It's obviously back and forth action. It's fun. My first game ever was the LA Kings, actually.
Yeah. The weirdest thing, though, with hockey is how they do the line change like 15 seconds into the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like they start and then all of a sudden four guys are going off and you're like, I'm like, why are they subbing all those guys off immediately like that for another 4 guys? I mean, Popovich does that occasionally for the Spurs, but not every game.
It's tiring to skate hard, man.
Oh, it is. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Tass, do you have an answer for this question?
There's a question?
Yeah.
This week I had an issue with my compost. My compost tumbler has 2 sections. One where you're adding compost continually, and the other side is where the compost is cooking. You're not touching that, it's just turning into dirt. So that was full, the section that's just had turned into dirt. I needed to empty that, so I emptied that. Mm-hmm. But some of the section where there's just a bunch of food scraps, or there's just some crap that I added to it, also fell out onto my the tarp that I was taking it out on. It was, you know, go throw it in my garden or something like that. So basically a lot of food scraps joined in on my dirt party. And so I needed to get rid of all those food scraps. So I got swept up and I made a bit of a foolish decision in that I just started without gloves on, I just started throwing dirt and food scraps around my lawn, around my yard. Just getting rid of it. I look like a madman. I look like a chimpanzee throwing feces around my yard. I was just throwing it around. And it was just wet, soggy dirt. Definitely some worms in there hanging out, some bugs getting in there, trying to break down those food scraps. Well, I'm in there throwing it around. Those wormies were saying to me, come on, I'm just trying to eat some banana peel. Why are you throwing me around the yard, man? So I definitely look like a madman. But the dirt is safe in the other dirt, so we're all good.
Oh my God. I thought this story ended not like I thought it was going to end.
Oh, well, that's crazy, man.
I thought you were going to say you throwing food scraps like brought like animals or something like that to the yard, but no, it was just the worms you were feeling bad about.
Well, I was throwing food scraps. I'm not worried about worms.
Yeah, but who cares if the food scraps out on your... You're not throwing it on your grass, I assume. You're throwing it in your garden or whatever. Your bushes or stuff like that.
Yeah, it's just a stupid story. Yeah, I'm not really worried. I'm not really worried about food. Are you listening to this podcast? It's full of stupid stories. I just threw it in there.
Oh my God. I thought you were going to say like raccoons or possums were started to show up or something like that because you had been throwing the food scraps.
That would have been awesome. That would have been a better stupid story. Skeets, you got a story for this one?
No, I'm going to set this one out. What do you got here, Trey?
Look, when all of your friends are getting the biggest milkshake that they can order from the McDonald's and throwing it at a farmhouse's mailbox, you got to do it. You know, you just got to be a part of the mailbox vandals. We did it so many times, they put up a sign that said mailbox vandals are cowards. And it's true, we were. We never wanted to be caught, but oh my goodness. When you see a 44-ounce milkshake explode off of, thrown out of a Chevy Beretta and it just explodes on a mailbox. The mailbox is destroyed.
Ugh.
Your milkshake goes flying. You're living. You feel like a jerk. But for those 3 seconds, man, it's amazing. It's just amazing. High school.
Horrible, horrible. Yeah, I guess I will
sorry
answer.
About your boxes.
I'll answer quickly. Anytime, especially when we were in Vegas for Summer League, anytime we would hit the casino... With a group of us, very easy to get caught up in the enthusiasm of everyone else around you, and then you start having a little success. Maybe you should just walk away. Of course, hey, you're having too much fun. The drinks are flowing. Hey, Tassie's right here. You got Lily, Trey right there. You just continue to keep playing. Foolish. I mean, that's a classic casino move, right? Stop while you're ahead. A lot easier to say than do because you're having fun. And, hopefully you have a little money to burn anyway, so it's like, this is basically an expense. I don't want to leave here with money. I came into this thinking I was going to lose a couple hundred, and I'm going to make sure that happens. So that's an obvious one there. All right. That took a while. Well, what's our next question here, Taz?
What's up, finger rollers? One of the last things I did before the world locked down was take a family trip to Disney World. I have a 5-year-old son who's into basketball, so one evening, he and I went to Disney's NBA Experience. We took a picture with the Larry O.B., measured our wingspans against a Mo Bamba cutout, and played some pop a shot, but I was there for the dunk zone. After a few jams on a 9-foot rim, I thought it was time to lower it down to 8, set up my 3-foot, 6-inch prop in the lane, and sky over my son for the throwdown. I even set up my phone to record it. I placed him perfectly, measured my runway, then took off towards the hoop, thinking about the video I'd be able to proudly show my son when he got older. I guess you could show it to him the next day, too. But anyway, however, I didn't account for the fact that I was now firmly in my late 30s. As I jumped up, I spread my legs, cleared my son, and slammed the ball through the hoop. But I also felt the bottom of my boots clip his head and heard him go crashing to the floor, hitting his head and immediately bursting into tears. I picked him up. He ended up being fine, and looked up to see a 13-year-old boy who had seen the whole thing. I grabbed my phone, deleted the footage so my wife would never see it, and we made our way out of there in a hurry. Was there ever a time when you thought you were doing something great, but it turned out terrible for everybody? Love you guys. Brush up, floss some. That's from Kirill in Nolan. So he deleted the video. I think
really delete a video though. It lives somewhere, doesn't it? You know.
Yeah, you got to go into your recently deleted and save that, recover that thing, keep it for later. You can hide it from your wife if you need to. And your son sounds fine. Go get it. I think you want to keep that thing. Something I don't want to keep, though. I'm with Kirill on this. In 2011, a bunch of us went to the Dominican Republic, and it was a lot of different groups of friends. We're mixing a lot of worlds that were colliding. My old school buddies, Rhino Setz and Amin, Skeets was there, Nora, who did a lot of the organizing, JD and Rachel were there. But to satisfy everybody, I made sure we went to somewhere really cheap. But that was a huge mistake. The food was disgusting. I remember JD having to bail multiple times because of level one tummy trouble. And there was people like my buddy Amin and Big Steve and Diane who went to another resort for a day to get the heck away from that resort. I remember getting some fish for dinner, and that fish was definitely not new fish. It was an old fish. In getting set up for the dinner, it was sort of on a platform. Somebody pulled a chair out and almost went flying down like a 3-foot facade. It was just a bad move to try and satisfy everybody's desire to go cheap when you just gotta pony up a little bit. But
we still had fun. But you're absolutely right. We tried to make everybody happy. You're just trying to bring everybody along. You're thinking, well, it'll be more fun the more people that are there. So, okay, let's just pick the cheapest place so the more people can come. But that place sucked. That place was a hellhole.
The only good part.
Hey, look, first world problems, don't get me wrong. Oh, the resort wasn't nice enough, but this was a bad resort.
The only good part about it was the NBA trade deadline. Not sure why the score let us travel during a trade deadline. And we've told this story before, but it was 2011. Darren Williams got traded. And some guys who knew the show came up to us and told us that Darren Williams was just traded.
Right.
So that was pretty wild. Yeah. That was a first and probably a last. We weren't really on our cell phones back then. You know, we had the phones in the room.
True.
In a safe, of course, just in case we got robbed. But we found out Darren Williams got traded to Brooklyn. Weird. Or New Jersey, I guess it was back then. Yeah.
JD, what do you remember from that resort? Only fond memories.
Just shitting a lot, really. Also, we came back from All-Star and left the very next day, as I remember. Like, I feel like we arrived on a Sunday and then we left on a Monday, which was like,
sounds right.
Why didn't we?
Yeah, well, the trade deadline used to be
following
Thursday, didn't it? Yeah.
We were like, nope, we're going to the DR. See you later.
It was bad.
Strange. Yeah, it was bad. We all learned a lesson.
It was fun.
We did make it fun. The drinks were still flowing. So, that can help make things a little bit more fun, for sure. And there is a beach and whatever. The pools were nice. Do you have an answer for this, Lili?
Not really, no. I tried to think of one, but I couldn't really come up with one. I mean, like any time we've been working in a group together for a lot of years, you try to sort of do things, and sometimes they backfire on you a bit. But I couldn't think of one that had really sort of stuck out and blown up in my face a little bit. I mean, I guess out in Vegas for Summer League, there was always a little bit of tension when it came to bananas and where they were bought from, because I wouldn't eat the ones from the CVS. I'd only eat them from Fresh Market. And there was day eight of Vegas, we would fight over anything. And I was like, those CVS ones taste like crap. Don't eat them. But, me and Matt used to get into it the most about the bananas. So.
Yeah, not many people know that's why Matt left the show, that you would never eat a banana from CVS. He's like, I can't work with a guy like this. I got to get out of here.
I still remember the last time we went to Vegas, me and Matt and I think Phil Skeetsy were on the same flight. And we picked up the car from the airport and we drove to Whole Foods.
Yeah, I remember.
And Matt just like, decided whatever he was buying, he would just put in my crate, and I had to pay for it. I don't remember agreeing to that, but apparently that's what it was. So.
No, it's because we were saying, we don't want to go to Whole Foods right now. Yeah, we want to go check in. You're like, no, let's check in. I didn't want anything to do with it. And so I think that Matt said, well, look, if we're stopping at Whole Foods on the way to the hotel, you're paying for everything. And so he just kept putting stuff in your cart.
I think he said it to you. But you and him both knew in advance, I'm going to Whole Foods, guys. I'm going to Whole Foods. I've done it for years in a row. So, you can't claim that you didn't know that's what was happening.
No. I just wanted to go check in, man. I want to get there. Okay. Do you got an answer to this, Trey?
Mine is similar to Kirill. One of the first times we played spike ball was, I don't know, 4 years ago, basically, at this point. We were playing probably here by our place. We set it up. You know, I had a baby at home. I had a two-year-old. Thought it'd be fun for the two-year-old. Come watch your daddy play some spike ball.
Oh, boy.
The baby can take a nap. This'll be great. Mom, Laura, and Ada can stay here. Me and Isla will go down to the patch. We'll play a little spike ball with the boys. But as it turns out, a two-year-old is equally interested in a ball flying in the air as a 32-year-old. So when that thing goes flying up in the air, Dad forgets that there's a kid walking around. And I pancaked that little child, unfortunately. Oh, baby. It's hard to keep a kid away from a ball bouncing off a net and everybody running around like crazy. But, you know, she was fine, and we play spike ball to this very day.
Did you save the video?
Do I have a video? No, but I would have kept it, no doubt about it, because I've got some of me dunking over our kids, and I'll keep them and show them at their weddings.
Oh, nice. That'd be great. You also have some nice footage of Matt Austin playing spike ball, do you not? Show that at his wedding.
Here, I put this together. It's a compilation of his finest frizzies.
For some reason, hilarious to me at Matt Austin's wedding if you just show a bunch of spike ball clips.
I don't think I'll be the best man at Matt's wedding, but I'm going to give a speech anyways and be like, do you realize that this man invented the cute Steve?
Cute Steve. Hell of a shot.
4 years ago and you played spike ball. That's when Matt was supposed to get married, probably. Five or six years ago now. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, we got a few more here. Next one. Hey, guys, I wanted to reach out and ask your opinion on something. I have been watching / listening since I was 14 years old, and now I'm about to turn 22. I could go on and on about how incredible y'all are, both basketball and non-basketball related, and, well, I finally wanted to get something to commemorate y'all. I'm getting a tattoo. I was trying to think of something that represents the whole group in a picture or something like that. If anyone has any ideas, that would be awesome. So far, all I have as an idea is a turnip. I think that'd be hilarious. Thanks in advance. This is from Kate Wood, by way of Instagram, actually. She sent this one in, and we had to include it in the show because it's a great question. She's thinking about, because she's been such a loyal listener and watcher of our show, of getting the tattoo, but wants, one thing to, I guess, encompass all of us, really, the best way possible. A turnip, I guess, is from Turnip Love You Guys Awesome. I'm guessing is what that the angle is to that. I don't mind it. A little turnip in a basketball jersey is pretty cute. A pretty funny little tattoo. The only other things I could come up with were something wedgie related, right? So, you know, maybe like a little basketball wearing underwear or something like that, like a little thong on a basketball. Something pun gun, you know, like a little water gun with, you know, maybe pun gun written on the thing coming out of it. Pocket dog, maybe. That's a little bit more TK, but it's a cute little thing. We've done that before. You did the hats there once. And the only other one I got, and then I'll open up to you guys. You know, we're always talking about doing classics. We've been doing classics for, you know, basically 15 years now. When I think classics, for some reason, I think of records. So what about like a little gramophone, right? I don't know if like it says no dunks anywhere, but, you know, just a little gramophone to represent classics. Those are my answers. Excited to see what Kate goes with, but Lee, we know you will not allow her to get it on her neck because she might have to work at your McDonald's one day in the future and then she would, you'd have to rip up her resume because she has a tattoo on her neck. But do you have any other suggestions for an idea?
Sort of like a chain almost, right, where you've got like the Basketball Jones logo, the Starters logo, and then the No Dunks logo as well. You know,
sort of that.
That's a little one. You know, I don't know where I don't know where she wants to put it, but like, you know, the thing is, you need people to know kind of what it is when they look at it. If you put a wedgie,
but you don't, right? Yeah, I mean, a turnip in a basketball jersey.
I mean, you want some sort of No Dunks or Basketball Jones or Starters in there, though, don't you? I mean, it's otherwise, it's like, why have you got a turnip in a basketball jersey on your arm?
Well, there you go. Conversation started. Well, that's true.
Okay, let the conversation begin.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, well, what about a little swim-up bar? okay, so you want all the logos. What do you got, JD?
Well, one of my favorite things. It's a way back throwback. It was a t-shirt. It would make an awesome tattoo, and it's specifically TBJ. It's specifically us. It's this, the Poo God.
Oh, wow. The Poo God.
I mean, that's an awesome tattoo right there.
That's true.
That's true.
Yep. I hope you're a Ginobili fan, but...
Well, but you don't need to be. It's really, you're a Poo God fan. And it's got the original Basketball Jones logo right down there in the bottom in the center there. The toilet paper flying around. It's great.
That's great. That is good. It does look... It just looks like somebody's tattoo.
Yeah, that looks like tattoo details for sure.
Yep. Okay. So you want that. That's a big throwback. Tass, what do you got?
Yeah, I really couldn't come up with anything fantastic. I did, you know, I thought of the names as well, like Leah's mentioning. Can you somehow combine all the names or something? Because like Shannon, a former fan of ours, I guess, hopefully she's former. Still a fan of ours. she got a tattoo on her ankle, just the Starters logo. There it is right there. Now, is she regretting that?
Mm.
I'm not sure. So maybe you don't want to go with the name because you never know in this business.
Did she not get a tattoo of Lee though too?
Yes.
Yeah. She got the tattoo of Lee doing the very solid thumbs up.
Mm-hmm.
No. That was Eight Toes did that.
Oh, Eight Toes did that. What? But she got
that face that someone drew of me.
Oh, right.
Yeah. I've got a photo of that somewhere.
Sorry. There's actually multiple people out in the world with tattoos of Lee Ellis. Think about that for a second. Just wrap your head around that.
And okay, he's taking pictures with both of them.
Yeah, exactly.
Pretty crazy.
Yeah.
See, I would avoid any sort of name, like the Starters, like you're pointing out, Tass, because now, you know, no dunks, I guess, TBJ. This is why I think she's looking for, again, this is what she said, looking for a photo tray, like something, you know, something... Something that encompasses the entire show, the run of the show, or all five of us, or six, including Matty O there. Do you have an idea?
I'm with you. I like the idea of a turnip that is a basketball, something like that. You know how it has like a little point at the bottom or something? Or maybe it looks like a wedge of cheese, but again, it's a basketball. That's a wedgie. But there's a great suggestion from Leo on the stream team who says somebody should get a Lee P tattoo. And it's like the easiest thing to do. You know, like the Calvin peeing on a Ford logo or whatever. Just throw some glasses on that. He's already facing backwards. Like, it's perfect. Get one of those and you're good to go.
All right.
Maybe Shannon could get a Lee P peeing on the Starters logo.
Oh!
And then a No Dunks logo on the other leg.
Oh,
I don't know.
There's something there. And, or maybe Kate should not worry about, one thing to encompass the whole show, but like maybe every year you pick one of us. Who's your favorite, Kate? You know, pick Tass. Well, you go with a little like compost, a recycling symbol for Tass. Like, you know, is it Trey? Maybe it is the pocket dog. And you just can add, you know, monthly or year by year or something like that. That's another idea. Because then there's like, we're like Voltron, you know, at that point.
Sure.
You got Tass's composting, Trey's pocket dog, Lee's camera roll. I don't know. but maybe there's something. Let us know. Keep us posted, Rangers, Kate. Yep. Keep us posted. Oh, there you go.
There it is. Yeah.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, that was from All-Star Weekend here in Chicago.
You look cool there.
Oh, that feels like forever.
Why do you look mad tanned there?
I don't know.
You had the tanning salon? What's going on in this photo? This is in the middle of the winter, isn't it? This is fascinating.
Yeah.
You look like your sexy brother there, Lee, for a second.
No, don't get Matty O started then.
Matty O's going to marry your brother. That'll be the thing. All right. We got a few more questions, but let's take one more quick break.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day, or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Danielle has taken up painting. Oil painting, acrylic painting, other painting. I don't know what it is, but it's just incredible. If I can convince her to open up a Shopify store, I know she'll be hearing the... Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. from the launch your online shop stage, yeah, just do it, to the first real life store stage, see, you made a sale, all the way to the did we just hit a million order stage? How about that? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap, offering outdoor outfits, or paintings, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From the all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Here's some information. Just like entrepreneur David Scott Martin of Antique Candle did for No Dunks on Shopify. How about that? And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/nodunks, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/nodunks now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/nodunks.
All right, couple more here, Tass.
Greetings, layup proponents. This past Friday, Mariah Carey released an album, The Rarities, of her unreleased and rare songs. This reminded me of Lee attending a Mariah concert by himself due to his unbridled love for MC. I think we all deserve a brief Lee review of these songs, as well as Lee's top five Mariah Carey songs.
Oh, God.
I'd also like to know Lee's opinion on the Mariah J-Lo feud. Wow, a lot of stuff here from Mike. Yeah. Turn up, love you guys. Awesome. So review it, Lee. Top five Mariah Carey songs. Plus, what do you think of Mariah and J-Lo feud? I didn't know existed.
Yeah, that's funny because I know that Mariah has fought with Whitney Houston back in the day. Madonna fights with everyone, of course. You know, she's the angry old lady. But I didn't know she actually had a beef going there with J-Lo, but it's not a real strong beef there. It goes back to a time when Mariah was asked about Jennifer Lopez and she said, I don't know her, and that turned into a meme, and like it's kind of grown legs from there. But J-Lo just recently was like, we don't really know each other. There's no beef there. So I don't think it's real. I think the one she had with Madonna was big back in the day, but you know.
Okay.
But yeah, so I was a huge, big Mariah Carey fan when I was, 13 or 14 year old boy, and didn't have a lot of male friends to share that passion with. but I used to listen to, her first album, just self-titled, was great. So I've come up with my top five Mariah songs. As always, it was a little tough to whittle it down to just five, but I'll see what we've got here, as I used to listen to these on my CD player in my room by myself pretty much. I mean, you can't... Dickie's
banging on the ceiling.
you can't sort of turn up to one of your friend's house with a CD and say, hey, you want to listen to some Mariah Carey? They'll listen to Anthrax and Metallica. And
why can't you listen to AC/DC like your cool, sexy older brother?
All right, here we go. Starting at number five, and what a start to her career. First song from her first album, Vision of Love. Like a rookie, just like coming into the league and dominating straight away.
Right.
This was the first song I ever heard, and immediately I was like, okay, this is pretty good. I want to hear more of that. And then a few weeks later, I'm sure I went and bought the CD. It was great. It had some classics on there. Number four, No Sophomore Slump for Mariah, Emotions. the title song off that title album was a banger. And what a fun song. What a great video it was, her in the car there. And it really as well sort of introduced us to her vocal range. You know, she started doing that high squealy stuff. And last year at the concert, when I was there with Acid Lady, if you remember the lady Mariah was still trying to hit those like super highs, and she get there, not quite the same, but she still got it there. But that really...
You saying she's washed, Lee?
I'm not saying she's washed.
Washed queen.
She doesn't quite have that same fastball that she used to have, but it's still pretty good. You could just see her really try. The fans wanted to hear it, so she tried, and she got pretty close to it, so it was great. From 1990 until 95, she was on top of the world. I thought she was great. Every album was great. Every song was beautiful. But from 97 till about 2004, her post-Tommy Mottola years, she went away from what made her special, and she kind of became more of a hip-hop singer. And I just didn't mesh with that sort of art of her career, really. I didn't like Butterfly through to like Charm Bracelet, I think it was. All that stuff for me just wasn't the same. I know she had success still with it, but it just didn't feel like Mariah. And I respected the fact that she tried new stuff, but she went with it for too long. So in 2005, when she came back with We Belong Together from the Emancipation of Mimi, it was like, this is Mariah that
this
I know and love.
This is the MC exactly. We know and love. Yeah.
Exactly. And it was great. And I loved it. I loved the video. It was just, it was more the Mariah that I knew and loved. And so I was back on. I was back on. We were back together. We were back together. We belonged together. We were back together. So that was great. I love that song. I love that video. Now, number two, I'm not sure if a collaboration should count here, but 1995, when she got together with Boyz II Men and did One Sweet Day. Perfect mix. What
totally,
a great mix
totally
that was.
Count. Totally.
And a great song, great video, huge in Australia. Now, what I also didn't realize until looking into this last night and this morning, for 22 years, this song spent more time at number one on the Billboard Top 100 than any other single. It's now third. I don't know if you know what the number one and number two songs are right now. They're very massive songs in the last couple of years. One, I think, was only last year.
Probably not. What the heck's the name?
Gangnam Style.
No, not
Gangnam Style.
Cowboy. What's
Little Nas.
What's the song called? I can't think of the
it's,
name.
Old Town Road.
Old Town Road. Yeah, that's number one.
Think of it.
And number two is from 2017. I think it is Justin Bieber song with Despacito. Yeah. So those two, up until that point, she held the number one with One Sweet Day with Boyz II Men there. Longest running number one on Billboard's Top 100, which is, I didn't realize that. So it's great.
And if you're continuing basketball analogies, Lee, that's just the super team right there.
Yeah. Dream team.
That much talent in one spot. Come on.
Yeah.
Dream team. Good call.
Yeah. they put it together and it was just a perfect song. But I'm going back to where it all started for my number one song, and it's from
back
her
to
debut
the bedroom.
Album.
Yep.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. And it's the third song that she released. It also went to number one. I think her first four went to number one overall from that first album. And this one, it carries personal and sentimental value for me. It's I Don't Want to Cry because of what was happening in my life at the time. I had a bit of a thing for this girl, and this song just made me think of her. Made me, you know, always made, and it still sort of makes me think of her, not the same way. great song, and you know, look, that's the thing with music. It just for us, all of us, we've got songs that have special meaning, and that one still does. And so I've got that one as my favorite Mariah song of all time. Probably not one of her most well known tracks for sure, but still a banger, still number one. But certainly, as the years have gone by, it's gotten lost in the shuffle. But will always hold a little special place in my heart.
Beautiful. Yeah. So you don't like Mariah's Honey and stuff like that.
That's Butterfly.
He doesn't like any of this. Wow.
It just she was such a fun singer. Like, the music was always great. And then it just really slowed down, and it just, hip-hop just didn't seem her jam.
Oh, it slowed down. I don't know, Lee. Heartbreaker with Jay-Z? That's a classic.
I mean, Honey remix is incredible.
See,
yeah.
And that's what I think. I think...
And you keep talking about the music videos, Honey.
But
music videos.
In North America, I know those stuff. Those songs were still, like, number one hits.
Yeah.
But for me, it just wasn't, you know.
It just wasn't the same. Didn't hit you right here.
It didn't. I mean, because I had Mariah Carey. I had Emotions, Music Box. Fantasy was a great album. And then that was basically it. I think I stopped at 95.
Right.
Because it was like. After that, I just couldn't get into it.
So, have you heard this new album here?
No, I haven't. I didn't actually know it was out, but I'll fire it up. I haven't listened to it. See what she's got.
Great. Well, yeah. I'm excited for you to check back in on the next podcast. Your top five songs from Mariah Carey's The Rarities, her unreleased and rare songs from Lee Ellis. All right. Thank you. Wait, look, we asked you. That was a great breakdown. I really enjoyed that. Final one here before we wrap this up. Hello, No Dunks. You might not remember me, but I wrote in a few months ago. I am the one who repeatedly told a joke until it died at the Democratic primary in Iowa. Specifically, I kept saying nice after 69 votes were tallied for any candidate, much to the chagrin of my wife and to those around me. Anyways, I just returned from participating in the first day of early voting. Here in Iowa City, they offered drive-through voting. It was an odd feeling casting a ballot in this historic election from the comfort of my car, but it was a smooth and easy process. After I cast my ballot, I said nice. Got me thinking, what is the most important thing you've ever done from the comfort of your car? Very specific question. Let's vote, y'all. Hell yeah. That's from Sean. Who dat Chuck, former Tweet of the Week Army member from Iowa City, Iowa. Sean, awesome. way to vote. You're right. Everybody go out there and vote if you're an American citizen up in this upcoming election. I'll answer first because I actually have sort of a weird one too. I guess similar to this, you know, casting a ballot from your car. I bought a house from my car because, you know, right at the beginning of the pandemic kicking off is when Nora and I were in the process of buying our car, and we went, you know, and signed all the documents from our car. Someone came out. Again, this was right at the beginning of it all, so it was a little weird. I don't remember masks being involved, but it was definitely like, here's your documents, sign them in the car. You know, you keep the pen. We don't want the pen back and stuff like that. So that was weird. That's a pretty instrumental thing to do from the comfort of my own car. In fact, wait, that may have been your car, Trey. I think it was.
Yeah, this was in between the cruise and the tracks.
Yes, it was. I did not have the tracks yet. I was using the Highlander, I think. So, well, thank you. I used your vehicle to buy a house. Wow, that's crazy. Do you have an answer for this, Tess?
Well, sincerely, bringing home each of my daughters in my vehicle, for sure. So in all sincerity, that. But in all hilarity, just dropping the hammer every time I put the pedal to the metal. That's the most important thing I've ever done in my car. And you got to do it every once in a while, you know, just drop it. No, I don't have a good answer for this. I absolutely don't. The most important thing, I haven't. I mean, when I order my McDonald's, no, nothing good. Trey, okay, what do you got?
Yeah.
Well, I actually had a really good car week. Last Friday, I had a deer run in front of the car, swerved out of the way, no problem. Felt like Lewis Hamilton out there. The reaction time was incredible. You just feel a jolt of energy go through you when you see an animal run in front of your car and you don't hit it, because, man, hitting an animal with your car, quite scary. Quite scary stuff.
Did you say a deer?
A deer, yeah.
Holy moly, okay.
Full-size deer ran right in front of me. Oh, out in Serenby, trying to rip some lips, you know.
Okay.
But then yesterday, speaking of the Highlander, I changed a battery for the first time in my life. Yanked it out, charged it up, got it back in. That thing's running now. It's still got that crazy rattle. So if anybody out there is thinking about buying a house, you got a car for it now. You can go anywhere with this thing. And yeah, I took it to McDonald's. That was the first place I went as soon as I got that thing fixed. I said, we've been talking about it on the podcast for 20 minutes. It took me another 30 to fix this thing. I need a reward. Let's have a feast.
Did you get the McKirby? What'd you get?
I think I got the McTass, actually. I ordered the Big Mac meal. Wasn't that what your thing was?
Yeah.
The McTass. It was good. All right, cool. Well, yeah, that's some serious man points right there, I would say. Changing the car battery, yeah.
Battery's a tough one.
Yeah, that was that's what I thought too. And then it turns out there's a reason that dads have been doing this since cars were invented, because it's actually pretty easy. And all you got to do is I'm so not car savvy that I Googled first how to remove a car battery, did that whole thing. Then I had to go back and Google how to install a car battery. Surely there are websites that have it all on the same page, so you don't have to look at two different things, but you just do it opposite ways. Nonetheless, I was like, pretty soon our cars are just going to have batteries. I guess this is still a skill worth having.
Great stuff. What do you got for this, Lee?
Yeah, well, mine is I picked up the electric car about a year ago, I guess it was now. And what I love doing is turning on the air conditioning about 5 minutes before we're getting into the car, because then you get in and the car is not 1,000 degrees. And so you just feel like Michael Knight. You know, shout out to Knight Rider again. People could say James Bond, but I prefer to be Michael Knight. And so, you know, with the kids now, it's great because in our other car, we've got a second car that's a 2010 bomb. You get into that and it's like 8,000 degrees. Now, when we're in the Nissan Leaf, you just turn on that climate control. So when you get in the car, the kids are already happy to go in there because it's nice and cool and air conditioned. So,
and you don't feel guilty, obviously. JD can't get upset with you because it's an electric car.
Yeah. What do you mean? Sure, I can.
Oh, okay.
It's a coal burning vehicle, man.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, but the thing is, as well, you can also it's very hard to steal a Leaf. A, because you need the key nearby. And B, because you can track it as well on your phone. You know exactly where your car is at all times. So if someone does try to steal it, and that battery is, it's fine for little just getting around town, but you can only drive so far anyway before the battery runs out. So
chase them down.
Also, who would want to leave?
Hey, the Leaf. No one's ever stolen one.
Sounds like JD's gonna get a picture of Lee peeing on a Nissan Leaf logo tattooed on his body.
Hey, the Leaf technology is pretty far advanced. They're a pretty good car. And
it goes 5 miles. Awesome.
5 miles. Yeah. I mean, look, the battery life is the big thing holding back electric vehicles right now. They need to get those babies up to be able to drive like 500 miles on one battery life.
You got pretty good mileage. What do you get on?
Well, it's about 105 miles per battery. But of course, you don't want to be running to like 105 miles. So I sort of say it's about an 80 miles before you need to recharge. But it feels awesome when you're like, all right, I know we're leaving soon. Boom, turning on the air conditioning.
You're cutting into your mileage if you've got the AC running before you get into the car.
Not that much, though. It doesn't suck too much. It depends on how high you have up the fan as well, which I don't have that fan just pumping full ball. I have it, like, you know, low, so it just slowly...
Don't you have a garage? Why is your car, like, smoking hot?
Well, I'm saying, it's still hot here in Atlanta. Anytime you go out, like yesterday we went out for a drive, we're out of the car for like 10 minutes, came back and it's hot and stuff.
I gotcha.
But I also like to drive around just to leave the car there and then turn on the air conditioning so I can go back into it.
Eat your organic bananas from your electric car. Exactly. Your electric car. All right, great stuff. Let's call it. JD, do you have an answer for this or not?
No. I avoid my car like the plague. I try not to do anything, let alone anything important in it. But you bought a house, and that's great. That's desperate times call for desperate measures and all that. But everybody get out of your cars, people. Just don't be in your cars. Don't eat. Don't drink.
How's the skateboarding going? Longboarding.
Great. That's why I was yesterday. We found a new hill. It's a little steep. It's a little scary. But there were two cars in the parking lot that this hill fed into, that just sitting there idling away. It was beautiful weather. It's like 22 degrees Celsius out there. It's gorgeous. Just roll down your windows, people. No bugs. No nothing. Just what are you doing? What are you doing?
What are you doing?
That's why I got fired up there, Lee. Sorry. Sorry to take it out on you and your electric car.
Well, you used to be an electric carman too, James.
I know. Had to give it up.
No, he just rides his longboard everywhere.
That's right. I got a longboard.
Oh, man. It was funny. I was thinking about you, JD, because I bought a bike recently to go out biking with my kids. I wanted to buy a BMX. You know, I thought, why not? Why not? JD's riding a skateboard. I'm allowed to ride a BMX bike and go out with my kid.
Should have.
You would have regretted that, trust me.
Yeah.
In Atlanta? My God, you would have regretted that, going up hills.
Exactly, yeah. I got a mountain bike in the end, but, I was like, maybe I can get a BMX, why not?
What'd you spend on that mountain bike?
It was secondhand, so $180 bucks.
All right, beautiful.
Yeah.
Good man. Good
Yeah, because if you want to buy one, that's like $700 bucks for a standard, decent one. You can get them a little bit cheaper, but, brand new, you don't need to. There's so the secondhand bike industry is enormous in this city, so you can get one pretty cheap.
It was a lot bigger in Toronto, I'll tell you that. Where I was convinced you'd buy a bike and then they would just steal it from you and then you'd buy it again,
resell it to you. Yeah,
100%.
It's crazy.
Oh my God,
Are we still doing a show?
I don't know. I'm not sure. We're just talking. We're just hanging out,
talking about bikes.
What's better than this? Guys being guys. Wait, dudes being dudes? I can't even remember anymore. Guys, keep your emails and your comments coming for the next Beach Steppin' podcast. Just because the NBA Finals are wrapping up soon doesn't mean Beach Steppin's really going anywhere. Email them in, nodunks@theathletic.com, or you can tweet them in at nodunksinc. If you haven't already, you can subscribe to The Athletic right now for $1 a month. That deal is still on. Go to theathletic.com/nodunks to take advantage of that incredible offer. And finally, I'll throw it in here at the end of Beach Steppin'. If you listen to No Dunks on iTunes, on Apple Podcasts, leave your boys a 5-star rating and review. Helps in terms of rankings, and we always have a little fun with it at the start of every month. So get your 5-star ratings and reviews in, and thank you to everybody that already has.
A little drama in the 5-star Friday world. Apparently, there's a fake real deal Neil out there.
Whoa.
What? Tune back in November to hear the rest of this story.
Oh, I can't wait. Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, it's just a sweet, sweet fantasy baby. I'm in heaven with my boyfriend, my laughing boyfriend. There's no beginning and there's no end. Feels like I'm dreaming, but I'm not sleeping. Such a sweet, sweet fantasy baby.
Embrace the day, people.
You could stay, every day.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.